Let's start with Jimmy Carter in the news yesterday that he has passed away at the age of 100. What's your perspective on the former president and what his legacy will be in our country?
Well, I think his legacy will be a good one, both in terms of his presidential legacy, although he was a one-term president. He had some successes. Mm-hmm. He did also have some failures. The first 3 years of his presidency, he did some things to stabilize the country in terms of the economy, but unfortunately, inflation really started ramping up after the in the last year of his presidency. But I think where he'll be mostly known is internationally. He negotiated the deal between Israel and Egypt. That was really critical. The Camp David Accords between Begin and Sadat, which started the Middle East peace process after really a quarter century of fighting. He also negotiated the Panama Canal Treaty that turned over control of the Panama Canal Treaty to Panama, and also opened doors to China. So I think on the international front, he had a lot of successes. Of course, when the Iranians took over the U.S. embassy in Tehran and took 50 Americans hostage, that certainly was devastating for the country, but also probably cost him re-election.
David, let's turn our focus a little closer to home now. As you look back at 2024 in North Carolina politics, how do you put in perspective what we witnessed this year?
Well, just like nationally, the political scene was one that we would not have predicted a year ago. I mean, first we had the election, and Donald Trump carried the state for the third straight time and won the presidency. And then a Democratic gubernatorial candidate won the governorship. And then the Democrats made slight gains in the legislature and broke the supermajority by the narrowest margin. So from an election perspective, it was a very unusual year. And that's not even talking about Joe Biden getting out of the race 100 days before Election Day.
I am curious, with all the outcomes of the election that we saw, particularly in North Carolina and the way North Carolina voted in the presidential election, does that really solidify our state as a purple state?
It really does. I mean, yes, Donald Trump won the presidency for the third straight time in North Carolina, won the presidential election. But, you know, the margin was very slim. And if we look up and down the ballot, the margins are extraordinarily slim in statewide races. I mean, we've still got a state Supreme Court race that is not finalized yet. That just shows that North Carolina is extremely tight. So whether we're talking about the 2026 midterm elections or we look down the road even further to 2028, I would expect that North Carolina is going to be right in the crosshairs in terms of national attention.
David, as we look ahead to this new administration in North Carolina, do you feel like the Stein administration will be kind of a continuation of what we've seen with Governor Cooper, or are there going to be some differences between the governorships?
Well, there are always differences based on circumstances. I mean, but I think in a lot of ways, Josh Stein is cut from Roy Cooper's cloth. They're not exactly the same, but they have similar philosophies. They have similar experiences. Both were attorney general in North Carolina, attorneys general in North Carolina. And then they ascended to the governorship. So I think both from their experience and also just from their basic political philosophy, they're going to be very similar. But we don't know what's going to happen in North Carolina. I mean, none of us would have predicted Hurricane Helene. Many of the things that Roy Cooper dealt with during his term as governor were dealing with emergencies, from COVID to Hurricane Helene, other hurricanes and that sort of thing. And that may not be the case for Josh Stein, but certainly could have.
The recent back and forth with the governor-elect, the governor and the General Assembly, and we're stripping some of the powers, et cetera, how much has that impacted the relationship between the governor-elect and the folks on Jones Street as we head into this new administration?
Well, it certainly doesn't help in terms of looking down the road for bipartisanship. But, you know, again, we've been doing this for quite some time in North Carolina. It wasn't just Republicans doing it over the last 10 years. Democrats have stripped power from executive offices before. So I think it's not insurmountable for the Stein administration. Of course, we'll see some of these decisions made by the legislature play out in court. So we don't know the final outcome. But I think on some on some key issues facing North Carolina in the coming year. There'll be some bipartisanship on things like transportation funding, some budget issues, but on some issues, the two are far apart and probably will remain so.
A couple of thoughts on before I let you go, David. I would like your perspective on the General Assembly. Obviously, they don't have the veto-proof majority as of yet, or the supermajority as of yet. Is it likely that Democratic representative could flip to give the GOP that supermajority?
Well, it's always a possibility. We saw that last year with Tricia Cotham from the Mecklenburg County area. But even if a legislator doesn't flip to give the Republicans enough to have the supermajority, on some key issues, we have seen Democrats vote with Republicans on budget issues. So there are two or three Democrats who are in fairly conservative districts and who are more moderate, just from a political perspective, who may vote with Republicans on certain issues. So even though the Republicans don't have a formal supermajority, on some issues they may have enough.
David, as I let you go, I would like your thoughts on the U.S. House of Representatives. I mean, you could make a case that the U.S. House and the reason the Republicans control the U.S. House is because of the gerrymandering that was done in North Carolina. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, prior to this year's election, we had seven Democrats and seven Republicans because of a court-ordered redistricting. And then after the General Assembly redrew the lines again, we end up with a very different margin with a majority of Republicans. You know, just look at the voting patterns in North Carolina. Federal races, whether they're president or congressional races, are extraordinarily close. So if the districts were drawn in a competitive way, which means we have, you know, more equal opportunity for Democrats and Republicans, we probably have more of a 50-50 congressional delegation.
David McLennan, Meredith College political science professor. David, always appreciate the time and the perspective. Happy New Year. Thanks for all the time this year. Look forward to visiting in 2025.
Thanks, Chris. Happy New Year to you as well.
Thanks so much.